You are listening to Mommying While Muslim podcast, where hosts Uzma and Zeba share their personal stories of mommying in a post 9/11 world. This podcast is designed with the Muslim American mom in mind, so grab a cup of coffee and pull up to their table.
Assalamu alaikum, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Mommy While Muslim podcast. This is Uzma Jafri.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Zeba Hassan. And I wanted to start today off in the new year. If everybody can just, you know, give me 2 seconds and let's start a prayer for the new year, because quite frankly, we left a pretty difficult one behind. So I just wanted to, as we change the calendar and we have a new page in front of us, to kind of open up today with an opportunity to be grateful and have a gratitude attitude, inshallah. So, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Allah, thank you for giving me the brand new year ahead. Help me live the way I should as each new day I tread. Give me gentle wisdom that I might help a friend. Give me strength and courage so a shoulder I might lend. The year ahead is empty. Help me fill it with good things. Each new day filled with joy and happiness it brings. Ameen. And, you know,
Ameen.
In the year 2020, you know, we've had a little bit of ups and downs, but I feel like overall it kind of gave us an opportunity for pause. So as we head into the new year, I'm grateful for that extra time I got to have. So how was your New Year's, Miss Uzma?
I, like probably every other mom in America, was in bed by 7:30. So New Year's Eve was pretty uneventful at our house. We heard some fireworks going on, but they're technically illegal in our city. So very quiet. Yeah, it's been a good week. I think my drug levels are leveling off. And I've forgotten to update everybody for the last couple of weeks on what's happening with my journey on starting antidepressants for the first time. And I think they're working. Like, I'm not crawling into bed because I don't want to deal. I'm actually trying to get housework done and I feel motivated to do it. I feel okay when my husband is saying, let's go out, let's do this or that. I'm not dreading it anymore. So definitely working. And I will tell everybody out there who is like, oh, it makes me feel funny. It, you know, does it. Yeah. I think for the whole weekend when I started it, I was nauseous and dizzy. You just kind of have to write out the side effects. And just because one drug doesn't work for you doesn't mean the plethora of drugs that we have out there are not going to work for you. And I say drugs, I mean medication. I'm sorry. I don't want to scare you further. Those of you who are anti-medication for depression and anxiety, sometimes you just need that boost. And we have hundreds of medications out there and available. And I always tell my patients, everybody is different and everybody is different. So what may work for me may not work for you. If I have side effects, maybe you won't feel anything. So please talk to your doctors, get help if you need it. And that will be kind of the loose ends that we had left from our mental health month last month.
First of all, before I talk about my week, I do have to say, I really appreciate that you've been so open and honest about this and taking the stigma out of, I need some extra help. You know, it's kind of been a long journey for you. And I do feel like doctors are their worst patients because quite frankly, they feel like they can kind of help themselves. And sometimes you need to ask for help from other people. So just so everybody knows, if you are experiencing some of these symptoms, you feel like you need help. As we turn the page, like I said, in a new year, go and talk to your doctor, talk to your physician. They'll help you through this process because quite frankly, this is unprecedented time. And like Uzma said, you do need that little extra boost to kind of push you forward. And if a mom, as the heart of the household, isn't getting the help that she needs, it's very, very difficult for her to be that anchor for the rest of her family. So Uzma, I am super proud of you. And obviously, as you know, I'm always, always praying for you. But like my weeks are all blending into the next. Let's just be real. We're just at that stage in the year. The best thing that I had this day is our designer has, I'm going to show them on the camera for the people that can't see the audio. We will have the links on our show notes, but she has created with our help, because we've custom created the stones, we've picked the stones, they're energy stones, and we're naming this bracelet the Mother's Prayer. And the beauty of it is that whether you're doing dhikr, which is, you know, Islamic meditation, it can also cross to other interfaith meditative types of practices, and it happens to be a beautiful bracelet. We're going to be taking custom orders, and we're doing pre-orders for this, I think, in January, because they are handmade. We really, and the quality is super, we love it. It took us a long time to find somebody, an American Muslim who a Muslim mom who actually owns this business and custom designed this with our help. So we're super excited to offer that. That's kind of what I've been doing this week, was finalizing some of that, getting the shipment in. As we know, the postal service is very long and drawn out right now. So I'm super thankful for that. And we will have, I believe, the pre-orders on our website within the week.
Inshallah,
happy, hoping they'll be launched by our 2-year anniversary in March. So we are super, super excited. That's pretty much all that I've been doing on this week, is finishing that, enjoying time with my kids, and, you know, being okay with closing 2020's door and trying to see what 2021 inshallah has to offer us. But how about you?
Well, that's it. Just prepping the soapbox, girl.
Yeah, so what is our soapbox for today? I'm always super interested. It's not even like a couple hours into the new year, but let's hear what our soapbox for this week is.
Well, our soapbox isn't necessarily a current event, but it's currently making the news because of a pending lawsuit. So it's out of Kansas City, Missouri. Exactly 1 year ago today, Rania Barakat went to a shooting range in Kansas City, Missouri. I think it's a smaller town in Kansas City, Missouri, where she went. And she was not allowed to enter a gun shooting range, where I think she waited in a long line, and they told her that you can't come in unless you take off your hijab. Reason being is because, there's potential for I guess they thought it was incendiary, so it would burn faster, but baseball caps are allowed. So obviously she contested it and tried to and explained, I've been to other shooting ranges and this hasn't happened to me. And they wouldn't let her in. So she went back and looked at the reviews and found other Muslim women had faced the same discrimination and hadn't been allowed on this range, which is called Frontier Justice. They have multiple locations in Missouri, and their motto is faith, family, freedom. All good things, but for Muslims, anytime we see that combination of triple F's, that means Muslims aren't welcome. So I'm kind of like, Rania, you know, that was not someplace that wanted you there. But now CARE Missouri is involved because there's multiple complaints from multiple Muslim women. And I was thinking, how could we go about this? Well, if baseball caps are allowed, I don't know if you've noticed on socials, Zeba, but a lot of the cooler hijabis will like wear a really tight hijab and then put a baseball cap on top of it. I mean, baseball caps are allowed. So that could be one way to get around it while this lawsuit is pending. But we wish Rania and her Muslima counterparts the best and hope that they can win this lawsuit, inshallah.
Did you know that family travel has the incredible power to shape our children's worldview and create lasting memories? In a world where representation is often lacking, it's essential for our children to see themselves reflected in every aspect of life, including the stories we tell about travel. Introducing the Travel of Legacy podcast, where we're rewriting the script by celebrating the diverse voices of Black and Brown family travelers. Each episode of Travel of Legacy is a testament to the enriching power and the joy of exploration in Black and Brown communities. So journey with us and subscribe now.
I definitely think the hat and the hijab look is super cute. So cute. I am all about it. Hat jobby. I wonder if we could do something like like a cool hat jobby, right? Where you hat just jobby. Kind of have it and it's covered. Okay. So if somebody wants to create that, send it our way so we can help you out. But you know, we are starting this month's series with how-tos. This is our how-to month. Moms doing super crazy hard things and sharing the behind the scenes with us. We're just hoping to kind of set the tone for 2021 to expect hard things. So when Allah sends us ease, we are pleasantly surprised with the year ahead. I mean, but we are going to start our how-to series with a very difficult topic. This is a trigger warning. So that's something I do want to, if you're listening with your children, if you're not ready to hear it yourself, we are going to be talking about child loss. So if you don't want to listen, please turn it off right now, because this is definitely a trigger warning. But we are graciously joined today by Abiha Hassan, who is going to discuss her recent loss of her beautiful child. Abiha is a working mother of four beautiful children. We are always looking for moms doing amazing things, whether, you know, you're inside, outside, making headlines. This is your space to tell us about it. And today's special is not because we're starting up the new year, but also because it's the first time we've had a cousin from the North take the mic for us, meaning it's our first Canadian mom joining us. Welcome, Abiha. Thank you so much for crossing the border with us today and sharing your journey.
Assalamualaikum, Abiha.
Assalamualaikum.
Assalamualaikum. Thank you for having me here, and love to be here. And I'm glad you gave me this opportunity to, discuss this difficult topic. So I'm a mom of four. My daughter Isla, 12, Ishan, my son, 10. I have another daughter, Myra, 3, and my baby in heaven, Jenna. Well, I'll tell you a little bit about Jenna. So on August 18th, 2020, just 4 months ago, my fourth child, Jenna Kulsum Zedi, whose time on earth was momentarily, of course. And as a parent who has experienced like such loss, the days, the weeks, the months that follow can feel very isolating. So not just isolating, is in fact chaotic at the same time. So it's my honor to have the opportunity to come live with you guys and discuss it, because not just the power of faith, but the people like yourself and community has brought me to experience this in a positive fashion. So it's above all, the faith is above all, and it feels like the love of Allah that Allah has bestowed on us and my family has given us strength to guide them through my family and myself through this grief journey. So I really appreciate it.
No, I mean, we feel so privileged to be able to host your story, because not many people are willing to talk about it. At least my experience has been, when people suffer something like this, we're not, as you know, people who offer condolences, we've always been taught not to say it out loud, just to pretend like it didn't happen. I have people near and dear to me who have had child losses or pregnancy losses, and they say clearly, I don't want to talk about it. So I feel like you're a rare bird, and I really, really appreciate you sharing this.
So I find in my situation, when I went through this, or our family went through this, I shared it with everybody. That same day, just like my other kids, I was proud to have my baby, Jenna, and just like my other kids, I celebrated them because they were here on earth, and same as Jenna, she was here. I wanted to celebrate her, even though I lost her, but at the same time, I wanted people to know that she was born and was here with me, unfortunately, not too long for us to enjoy. As far as the details of how people, it's a taboo subject, right? So it's normal for people to think that shouldn't be talked about. But in my case, it has helped me tremendously to talk about Jenna, to talk about my whole experience. I have walked through this path by everyone's help here, because if I didn't share it, I wouldn't have that help or that support that I got from the community, from the people around me, from the family, everyone. I think it was a huge benefit for me to cope with this grief that I went through and I'm still going through. Like, I'm not saying that I'm perfect and it's never going to go away, but I have had a good way of managing it now because it has become normal to talk about, Jenna, and that's exactly what I wanted.
I love that you're saying that because like Uzma said, a lot of people tend to not want to talk about it or like myself, if a friend was going through it, I would feel a little bit awkward. Like what should I say? How should I say it? But the reality of the situation is you want to give voice to her life, you know, and allowing your friend the opportunity to be able to talk about this person that existed, I think, is part of the grieving process. But, you know, I think a lot of people are going to be curious about how your pregnancy with Jenna was. Do you mind sharing a little bit about your pregnancy journey with us?
No, absolutely not. So unlike my other pregnancies, this one was walk in a park. I've been on high risk pregnancies from the get-go. My first daughter was high risk throughout my pregnancy. My son was high risk. I was monitored every week on all my pregnancies by the doctor and MFM department because my cervix was always dilated and early on. So it was something that for this one, when I was pregnant with Jenna, maybe because I was home, I was less stressed because we were working from home. Not sure why, but my cervix wasn't dilated and it was just easier. I wasn't as sick as I was with the others. I'm always gestational diabetic. This time I wasn't. But at the same time, I was still being monitored each week because of my experience or my history. And I've had 3 C-sections before Jenna. So again, that was another reason they had to monitor that where the placenta attaches and so on. As far as complications, I did have a complication during, I think it was around 22nd week when we found out. They had done an ultrasound for her at 20th week where they found that she had a delay in growth and she was 3 weeks behind in growth. And so that gave us a little bit of scare. And that's when things started to turn a little bit. And throughout the pregnancy, we knew that she was 3 weeks behind. And at 32 week mark, I had an ultrasound appointment that morning and they felt that the baby was in distress. And so it had to be delivered. And I went into a C-section and because she was 3 weeks behind in growth anyways, she wasn't really 32 weeks. She was technically 29 weeks. And just like my third pregnancy with Myra, Myra, when she was born, she was also born 32 weeks as well, but and she had some breathing issues where she was carried away to CHEO, which is the children's hospital. They were able to resuscitate her, but with Jenna, they unfortunately weren't able to resuscitate her. She had the breathing issues and she didn't make it, unfortunately.
Thank you for sharing that. That is, you know, it's just so ironic that this was the easiest pregnancy, but subhanAllah, it turned out, you know, with a completely different outcome than your other ones. You write a lot about Jenna on your socials, and you talk about those 21 hours you had with her. Can you share a little bit about those 21 hours? And, you know, it doesn't have to be in great detail, but especially the immediate aftermath of her birth, what that was like. Maybe somebody would benefit from those emotions that you went through in that experience.
Of course. So I found that when you're not expecting it, you don't know what to expect, right? And it was as hard it sounds, it was handled so well. They did such a good job at handling it, making sure that I was at ease with every decision. They offered me everything. I do have a few things that I didn't accept because I was like, okay, no, I don't want to do that or I don't want to do that. But at the same time, I regret that. And so if I hope nobody goes through this, but if you are in a situation like this, always accept what they're offering because you might end up regretting it at the aftermath. With the 21 hours, I cherish them. They are my memory with her. Although she wasn't alive, I got to capture moments with her, felt her. I tried to memorize each and every bits and pieces of her. So it was something that I really treasure. And sorry, I'm getting a little emotional. No. But right after birth, you had asked. So they took her to the grieving room. It's called a grieving room. You're allowed to stay with them. Actually, you're allowed to stay with your baby for 48 hours. Okay. But I didn't want her to go to the morgue. So at night, so I kept her and I wanted to bury her the next day because I didn't want it that way. And it was just, they were very helpful. They bathed her with me. My husband was there too. We got to spend time with her the way that we would normally spend it with a normal baby. Except we knew it was going to end. But it was something that I think, I personally think it was something that I will remember or cherish forever. And I think it's necessary because, you know, these are the memories that you want to hold on to after, to grieve on or to move yourself forward with. I have since this experience, I have spoken to a lot of, I've spoken to a lot of parents that have actually went through this and they didn't go, they didn't explain it or they didn't tell anyone or they didn't even see their baby. They still cry about it. They still you don't get over it, obviously, but they don't have they have nothing to hold. And especially with this whole scenario of having a memory, I've actually gotten a realization that the people that have had miscarriages late, they also go through the same pain and grief, but they have nothing to show for. Mm-hmm. And it's harder. Like I've had miscarriages before too, but it's not as late as I would think. And the direction your life goes is very different.
No, I can hear the pain in your voice. And I think what you're trying to refer to is the concept of closure, like the ability to be with her, to go through the motions, to like you say, memorize, because she was a part of your life, regardless. So I feel very grateful for you that you did have that opportunity. And the one thing that I'm always curious about, and I have to be honest with you, like, as a friend or as somebody wanting to support you and not knowing what to say, what would you say to those people that want to support somebody going through this? What are the things that we can do to help them help you go through this process?
So I had interesting moments throughout this process because there were times where, like you said, Zeba, you don't know what to say, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes not even saying anything, just being there and giving the person the opportunity to talk is all you need. At the same time, I would prefer if somebody would bring it up rather than avoid mm-hmm. the subject. Because yes. There's a huge elephant in the room and you're not trying to address it. And you're like, okay, well, there were times when people would talk to me about the world, everything, except my little girl. Like, everyone means well. You have to accept that people have said things to me where you'd be surprised why somebody would say something like that. But honestly, they are running out of words. And they don't know what to say, but they really do. At the end of the day, they mean well. It's not, they don't mean anything negative for you. They care about you, and that's why they're calling you in the first place, right? And if they say something that might instigate something, it might be a trigger, but you have to keep in mind in the back of your mind that this is all because they mean well. They care about you. And that's why they actually called. So if you are a support person, I would suggest to talk to the person, do check-ins. Like, I had a great support system. My in-laws were really good. My friends here were really good. They always checked on me. But at the same time, as much as the support person requires, the check-ins doesn't have to be, how are you doing? Check-in is, can you tell me what you're feeling?
Yes.
Because how are you doing is a shutdown of like, oh, I'm good. Like, it's an expectation that I should feel good. Most of the time, I would not take the opportunity to say anything to them because it's easier, right? And it's also in a way you feel like, okay, do I want to take them into this dark road of where I am? Like, do I want to tell them that I was crying like a maniac just 5 minutes ago? No, it's sometimes you have to give that opportunity to the person to speak. And you have to be ready to hear it too, right? It's a two-way scenario. So if you are not ready, how are you is a good way. But if you're willing to hear it and actually want to just hear it, and at the end of the day, do not find a solution. There's no solution.
Right. Yeah.
You don't want to give them a solution to like, oh, you know, Allah does this on purpose. And no, there's no purpose for this. You do not need to do that. You just have to hear it, share it, and that's it. Like, there's no positivity at the end of the day. I mean, just be there.
I think it was shortly after Jenna passed away. But you mentioned Allah will never give us anything more than we can bear. And that you were talking about how a lot of the community was like, oh, you know, you're bearing this because your Islam is so strong and you're so this. And you said, no, I'm not bearing this well because this absolutely sucks. I'm only able to bear this because Allah loves me so much. And I thought that that was really, really moving and a testament to, you know, your sabr, which I've never known anybody to have a lot in this situation. I think you said earlier that you do grieve, so you're not perfect, but I want you to understand and know going forward and anybody hearing this, that however you grieve is perfect, you know, continuing to grieve doesn't make you any less perfect. So I did want to point that out and, you know, thank you for documenting what you're going through these last few months, because it's opened my eyes to, you know, that, because I never know, you know, because like you said, I've always said, how are you doing? And that person said, you know, even when they were patients the next morning would say, I'm fine, you know, or how do you think I am? You know, I'm going home empty handed, you know, so it would either be very passive aggressive, angry, or just completely shut down. So now thank you for giving me the words. Can you tell me how you're feeling? I think that's super helpful. So it seems that some of this journaling and documentation that you're doing is how you're coping with the loss of Jenna. Can you talk a little bit about how the different members of your family are coping with it, specifically your children?
So I have to, I'm going to go back to what I was saying before, when there's a support person that's there to help you, and what should they do? At the same time, I have to say the person that's going through this has to open themselves to accepting support. Because I think one thing that has helped me tremendously is me allowing myself to accept any and every support possible. I have assigned people to check in on me every couple weeks or so in the beginning, because I was like, no, you know what? You're calling me today, but can you check in on me again in 2 weeks? Because I don't know what I'm going to be doing in 2 weeks. But then at the same time, as me, as I call myself the victim, you have to be open to like taking that support call, taking that support message or anything, like just be ready to accept it, because you know what, it just goes through it lets your grief process a little better. Now, coming back to your question, I accepted therapy as well. So in our culture mainly, or in any, I think you don't tend to go towards therapy. And I accepted that. A lot of people actually said therapy is not for us. Yeah, they see people don't need therapy.
Right.
Of course they
do. Why do you tell everybody your feelings? That's not their business. You just talk to Allah.
Yeah. Exactly. No, you definitely need to talk, because therapy is nothing, just an opening to discuss your feelings or talk about your feelings out loud. And it helped. And so my kids and my husband all went through therapy sessions. And they offer that. You have to ask, but they offer that with this scenario. And you just have to ask the doctor and they will offer it to you right away. And it was helpful because it brings you to discuss things openly. At home, I've made it a point to discuss or talk about Jenna openly. I include my kids openly. They're old enough to understand. Even my three-year-old, she understands enough. So it's one of those things where you're like, okay, it's okay to talk about it. It's okay to discuss it. So as far as my kids are concerned, they are openly talking about it. In the beginning, it was tough for them too, because again, they were expecting a little sister coming into the home. In fact, my oldest, my son and my three-year-old has a good bond. So my oldest had plans to create a really good bond with Jenna. and my three-year-old was expecting a little baby in the house and like, I'm going to be a big sister. So it was exciting. So all that, need to say that they're coping it a lot better than I expected, because I think we have the acceptability of talking about it. When I'm crying, I don't hide away. They need to know that I'm sad about it. And how because again, I'm their role model, right? So if they ever go into a situation where they're sad, I need to be their role model of how to handle these feelings.
Yes.
Right. So if I hide away, how will they ever know? And I want them to know, because there have been a lot of people that came out that told me that they have gone through this. In fact, people that I know personally very well, that I had no idea that they had gone through it. And yes. I wish they told me before, because maybe I would have been a little better prepared for this.
I love that. And the fact that you are modeling the behavior of grief for your children, you're taking away that stigma and you're giving them power, right? Like that is a power to give your children. And I really commend you for doing that, because like you said, you have friends that have gone through similar things and you knew nothing about it. And quite frankly, you're putting up boundaries when you do need the support and the structure and the check-in. So that's definitely good advice. And that's one of the main reasons we are talking about this very difficult subject, because we want people to understand that there is no stigma to this, that you do need the support and you need to be able to reach out. So thank you so much for being so brave. What is the one thing you want us as an audience to know about Jenna that you will carry with you, I would imagine, for all your days?
So I really appreciate you asking me about Jenna, because again, it's something that I treasure. And I've mentioned it or I've touched before in our conversation that it's always great to hear about. And I love talking about kids. And what mom doesn't like talking about their kids, right? Mm-hmm. So as far as Jenna is concerned, she was a lot different. I mean, my first three came out to be more. I think she was taller. She was slim in the sense that she was leaner, I should say. And I know she was so beautiful. Oh my gosh, she was so beautiful. I really adored her. She looked really peaceful. Now she's at peace in Jenna. And I love that her name is Jenna because it just connects. The two together, who knew? it's a treasure. And I would like people to know that she was just like an angel, And she brought me a lot of awareness to a life that I was not aware of. And I'm actually quite grateful.
Yeah. She's leaving a legacy. She left a legacy.
She is.
SubhanAllah. She is. Yeah. Did you choose her name after she was born or prior?
Prior.
Oh, SubhanAllah. Wow. Yeah, that makes it even more beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have one last question for you. On your social, at Mama of a Little Angel, it's almost like you're writing love letters to Jenna. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you think you'll ever stop doing that?
I don't think it will ever stop. Like, of course, life does come in place, and there are things that you're doing. It's not like I'm forgetting about her or not writing about her or not talking to her. It's my way of bringing awareness as well as connecting with her. Now, if I ever find another way to connect, absolutely something will shift. But this is something that I want there. I know Instagram is not going away too soon. So if I ever go away eventually, I want my kids or my grandkids to be able to look back and see what and who Jenna was and who, how, and even a manual, right? Like you, a guidance of how to deal with it or how to cope with it. So I just want that there. So it's not going to go away, but it might teeter off in the sense that life does come in between. I may go somewhere or something and I'm not able to write. I do write a few words to her in a journal anyways at home, but those are just like a few sentences that I'm feeling that day. In the morning, right after the prayer, and that's about it. But the journal itself is something that I want time to reflect about her. And believe me, I have plenty of things that I do at home. Like I said, I have accepted everything and anything that helps me. So there are a lot of things that are there. But I know, and I'm okay to let go of things as well. If I don't need it, I don't have to continue. But I think this one specifically, the Instagram momming little angel, is also for others, not just myself.
Yes.
So it's a little bit of a responsibility too.
I agree. Yeah. I agree with that. I love that. And the one thing that I know for Uzma and myself, I'm not going to speak for her, but for me specifically, one of the main reasons why I started and wanted to start Momming While Muslim was for that, was to leave behind a legacy for my children. It's a snapshot into our day-to-day lives. It's not always glamorous. It's not always fun. We go through our ups and downs, but I want them to hear what we did in loving them, and perhaps that is something that you can leave a part of you behind. So I definitely appreciate that you're doing that, Abiha, and I think your Instagram handle is Mama of a Little Angel. So I want people to check that out. If you're not ready to talk about it, if you're experiencing something, we get it. But I believe that Abiha is open and available. Reach out to her, DM her, because sometimes we need our support in order to go through some of the most difficult times. That's why Allah gave us a village. And that's why we do what we do here at Mommy Well Muslim. So thank you so much for sharing your journey with us today.
Thank you. And we'll be praying for Jannah tonight.
Inshallah.
Both of them. Thank you.
Both of them. All of them, all of our children moving forward. Again, this was such a hard topic to talk about, and yes, you handled it so graciously. So thank you so much. This was another episode of Mommy Well Muslim. Until next time, everybody, please be safe. And pray for Ms. Jannah.
Thanks again for joining Zeba and Uzma on Momming While Muslim today.
Please email us your thoughts or questions and follow us on Facebook and Instagram, because this podcast was designed to cater your needs.
Make sure you check out the show notes to find the links and resources for this episode. And remember to help a mama out and leave a review of the show, as well as to like it on your podcast app of choice, because that helps us grow.
Tune in next week for another episode of Momming While Muslim. Assalamu alaikum, everyone.